This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:05 in the morning on Tuesday, the 4th of January. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C in studio. First, though, we are going to recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Well, U.S. markets opened with a bang on the first day of the year. The Dow was up 0.7%, S&P 500 up 0.6%, and the Nasdaq up 1.2%. Now, across Asia, decidedly mixed. The Nikkei was down 0.4%, Hang Seng down 0.5%, but Shanghai Composite was up 0.6%, Singapore STA was up 0.3%, but back home, FBM, KLCI, down 1.2%.
So joining us on the line for a take on what's moving markets in the new year, we have Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. It may be January 4th, but I'm sure it's not too late to wish you a Happy New Year. Now, the U.S. markets ended the year with stellar returns, but are equities still the Tina trade since there is no alternative, or a more liquid market that investors can consider?
Yeah, well, first of all, Happy New Year. I hope it's going to be a great New Year for everyone. And it is still the Tina market where there's really no alternative to equities. I mean, we start the year with real interest rates in negative territory in the U.S. and Europe. So there's a lot of January flow from institutions, hedge funds, and insurance companies into equities. So don't be surprised if we have a stellar January. And then it'll get a little tougher, more unpredictable as we go through the year. But right now, it's still the focus is on equities.
But Joe, if I look at Treasury yields last night, they jumped on the first day of trading, I think driven by economic optimism, and even 10-year notes spiked up 13 bips to 1.63%. Are you as optimistic as the fixed income traders?
I think the fixed income market has it right in the sense that Q4 is behind us, but it was a strong quarter for growth, and first quarter starting out strong as well. And the key there is that, yes, the number of COVID cases are spiking, but hospitalizations are rolling over. We're looking carefully at the UK data, for instance. It's improving. So I think the markets are pricing in that, yes, the COVID shock from Black Friday in November was just that, a shock. But there's a good head of steam. And if you look at retail sales, capital expenditures, household net worth, the consumers out there spending more goods, but also services down the road. So the backup in yields is not surprising. It's healthy. It's a sign of health.
And Joe, you know, just now you were saying January was going to have a gangbusters month, but February we expect some moderation. What's going to drive that moderation in February?
And from the Fed? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, what's going to drive that moderation from January onwards? Because you say January is going to be a very good month for us, but February you're going to see some weakness?
Yeah, the key is going to be, and it's amazing that earnings season coming up, the key will be how well, not so much earnings for fourth quarter, but the guidance and how well companies are managing higher wages, these supply chain disruptions. And there's a lot of money being bet that corporate America is going to show that resiliency. So, but nevertheless, you know, when we have the backup in the 10-year yield, we get the employment number on Friday, you know, there's still expectations of the Fed to raise rates three times this year, and they're tapering as we go. That invariably creates this unpredictability. And that's going to, I think, you know, last year we only had 1.5% decline the whole year. The whole year S&P declined 1.5%. Typically it's three times. So it was a very placid year, in other words, last year. It's going to be different this year because the Fed's in play, no doubt about it.
I mean, we are expecting FOMC minutes up on Wednesday. Do you think we're going to get any surprises or changes, or not quite yet?
No, I hope not, because let's hope there's no surprises, because that means the Fed is even further behind the curve. So the Fed should be very much in sync with the market, i.e. rising prices. They're not transitory. Inflation is becoming more embedded. We've got to move more aggressively with tapering. We've got to talk more about rate hikes and this year and beyond. So hopefully there are no surprises and that the Fed minutes are in sync with the consensus in the market.
I want to talk about oil. I mean, WTI has been hovering around US 76, 75 US dollars a barrel, about thereabouts. Pretty steady, though. OPEC's supposed to be meeting soon, but do you think there'll be a shift in the current demand-supply dynamics?
I think, if anything, OPEC's in a sweet spot, you know, here. You know, so the economy is picking up in the US, in Europe. China's reflating, right? They're cutting interest rates. They're going to grow the economy, I think, a little bit stronger rate than last year. So I think OPEC's in good shape. And I really do think, you know, something we got to watch, guys, a geopolitical event, whether it's Ukraine, Russia, that's kind of a hot spot here and now. Got to watch that very carefully. You can see a spike in oil prices. But I never believed in the $100 oil scenario because, as you know, the higher the prices go, that creates its own kind of blowback and reduces demand. So I think, you know, OPEC should be happy where they are at 75, and I think the upward bias for energy is higher energy prices. By the way, we're overweight energy. We've been overweight. We're going to continue our overweight into this year. Good valuations, good opportunities, good dividends and share buybacks. So that's a place you want to put some new money to work.
I mean, do you think OPEC will play ball? Because, you know, if you reflect on 2021, there was so much tension, right, between the U.S. and OPEC, and even within OPEC between, you know, Saudi Arabia and UAE. Do you think all this tension is just going to peter out in 2022, that they'll be all driven by consensus, you think?
I think, you know, they'll always, you know, oil is a political commodity, a geopolitical commodity. So it's going to be how tough, you know, the Iranian situation has to be. It's going to be playing out as well. You know, I think the key is just going to be old-fashioned supply and demand. Geopolitics overhangs the price, but supply and demand. The supply is pretty tight right now. Demand is picking up. And I think the big story is going to be that reflation story out of China. We've got the 20th Party Congress later this year. China's leadership wants growth, wants to see stabilization, and they're cutting interest rates. I think they're going to put more money in the pocket of the consumer, and that's good for commodity prices in general.
Joe, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his take on some of the trends moving markets this week and beyond.
Yeah, looks like equities is still the Tina trade for the moment, right? There is really no alternative. There's no other asset class as liquid as American stocks.
I've wondered, you know, for the past 3 years, we've seen double-digit growth across all the stock indices. Will we see double-digit growth for its fourth consecutive year?
I think the consensus so far I'm seeing on the street from the different research reports is that it's still going to be a positive year, but whether it can get to double-digit, there's a bit of pressure there. Because you might see some margin compression across the board. As you know, we're facing inflation.
That's right. And Joe, I think, made a very interesting point because February is when earning results come through. So we will really see whether the businesses can pass the cost over to the consumer.
And whether consumers still have the appetite to buy as much as they did. Is revenge spending over already? Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.